It's Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio, your NPR news station. Good morning, I'm Rebecca Kruth, and joining us now by Skype is Michigan Radio senior news analyst Jack Lessenberry with a look at some of the region's top news stories of the week. This week, a congressional panel sent a letter to Governor Snyder asking him to clear up his timeline concerning a deadly Legionnaire's disease outbreak in the Flint area. Last week, Harvey Hollins, a top Snyder aide, told a judge that he told the governor about the outbreak in December 2015. That contradicts Snyder's testimony to Congress last year. He said he didn't find out about it until January 2016. The letter asked Snyder for clarification and also outlined criteria for perjury. In a very swift response, Snyder said he stands by his testimony. Jack, what do you do when both sides swear they told the truth?
Well, it depends on what Congress is going to do. It's a Republican Congress, but of course, Snyder's not very popular these days. And the Attorney General, Bill Schuette, another Republican, is running against Snyder's legacy for governor next year. It's very clear that both Harvey Hollins, who works for Snyder, and the governor seem to think they're telling the truth. And of course, this is all fraught with consequences, since part of the never-ending Flint scandal is that state officials clearly did know about this spike in Legionnaires' deaths almost a year before it went public. So the only thing I can say is stay tuned.
A Republican candidate for governor was booted off his Senate committees this week. Senator Patrick Kolbeck says he got a letter from Senate Majority Leader Arlen Meekhoff saying he was no longer allowed on the four committees he was serving on. The letter didn't give a specific reason, but Kolbeck says he was kicked out because he went to Meekhoff's district for a Right to Life event without telling him. What do you think, Jack? Politics as usual?
No, this really isn't politics as usual. This is a rogue state senator who doesn't play by the rules. Politically, he's way far out there somewhere to the right of Pluto, but that's not the problem. The problem is he doesn't observe the simple time-honored senatorial courtesy of informing somebody when he's going to be campaigning in their district. And I think that the Senate leadership has been exasperated with him for a long time, and they just decided we're going to lock this monkey out of the circus.
There's a push in Lansing to get rid of the State Board of Education. Representative Tim Kelly chairs the House Education Reform Committee. This week, he introduced a resolution to eliminate the state board and instead allow the governor to pick the state superintendent. Those in favor think this would help create a more transparent education system. Jack, other people have tried unsuccessfully to get rid of the State Board of Ed in the past. Is there any sign things could be different this time around?
Well, I think what a lot of people are forgetting is that the State Board of Education is mandated by the Michigan Constitution. So you'd have to amend the Constitution, which takes some doing, is not quite as easy as passing a law. We should say, first of all, governors generally get their choice as state superintendent. Jennifer Granholm, when she was governor, decided she didn't like Tom Watkins and sort of pushed the board to replace him with Mike Flanagan. Of course, sometimes the board is controlled by a different party than the governor. There are others who might say that this critique is true, but it's because the board is toothless, and the thing is to give it more power. The board really just has advisory power at this point, but they do pick a superintendent. You need, I think, some level of independent oversight, and I think there's some dubious idea that if you have the governor pick the superintendent, you might have a politicized state superintendent of schools. So I'm not sure if this will go anywhere. Again, the mechanics of a constitutional amendment take a lot of work.
When it comes to climate change, a new study says there's good news and bad news for Michigan. On one hand, the study from the Midwest Economic Policy Institute says Michigan's transportation system is better prepared for climate change than those in a lot of other Midwest states. On the other hand, the study's author says that's still not good enough, that higher temperatures, heavier rains, and more frequent freeze-thaw cycles will damage bridges, roads, and other infrastructure. Jack, what's it going to take to get more funding to prepare the state for climate change?
One of two things, and probably both. A disaster that kills hundreds or thousands of people, and B, a legislature that includes some people who are rational rather than a bunch of people who are functioning off of ideology. It's very clear that our infrastructure is wearing out. There's all sorts of studies showing that, and infrastructure costs money to fix. The legislature hasn't been willing to do that. In part, that's because of term limits. If they can shove a problem down the road, 10 years when they'll be gone, they don't have to worry about it. But this is, again, something that's really going to be a problem in years ahead. But I guess we just have to hope and pray on this Saturday morning that things get better.
All right, Jack, try and keep your chin up.
May all your infrastructure function, Rebecca.
Jack Lessenberry is Michigan Radio's senior news analyst. He joins us Saturday mornings to review the week's regional stories. You're listening to Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio.